If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, happy Thursday morning to you. It is, in case you're into numbers, 1010, the 10th day of October, 2024. Before we bring Mayor Chris Daly on, and he's here, we are right now going to give away some more tickets to the Black Desert Championship Golf Tournament. If you want to go out and check it out. Okay, now these tickets I'm giving away today, we'll give away two pair right now, are for Saturday. Not for today, not for tomorrow, but for Saturday. So if you'll call right now, 673-5890, we've got two pairs of tickets we're giving away to Saturday's session of the Black Desert Championship. I don't need that button on there, by the way. Tomorrow I'm actually going to give away some tickets to the Sunday, the final day of the tournament. But if you want to go, maybe Saturday's better for you, give us a call right now. Stockton will take your call and we'll get you to the tournament. And Mayor Staley and I both have agreed, although this is an amazing championship, we're not really going to, we don't want to brave the crowds and the traffic and go watch golf.
We would just add to the traffic and
we'd make it worse. You're right. So, but I know there are a lot of people pretty excited about it. I'm excited about it. That's not to diminish how cool this is, but I'm not going to go out there myself.
So. It's an exciting time for Utah. I mean, I watched followed the updates for the Utah Hockey Club's first game and then PGA Tour back after over 60 years. I mean, these are some exciting events, exciting time for our state, for our communities.
I think we're probably just a few years away from having a Major League Baseball team in Utah as well. We, of course, have a basketball team. The NFL is strangely missing, and I'm wondering if someday we have an NFL team. I'm not going to start any rumors, because if we do, it's at least a decade or more out if it happens. But that'd be kind of cool, too.
Baseball's great. It creates such a culture. It's America's pastime.
Yeah.
And you go to some of these big cities, and for whatever reason, you catch a ball game, and it's something to do. I think it'd be great for Salt Lake and for the state.
I agree. Mayor Chris Daly is the mayor of Washington City, one of the fastest growing cities in the world.
Well, we're trying to keep that a secret.
Too late. It's out. Just watch the Golf Channel for the next couple of days, and then watch the network coverage on Sunday of this golf event. And the secret's out of Southern Utah. It's an amazing place. So we know that. I've known it for 30 years. You've known it for 40-something. Wait, how old are you?
Yeah, I'm almost 50, but okay. I haven't passed that milestone yet.
It's coming. By the way, Chris Daly ran the St. George Half Marathon, right? You ran the full a bunch of times.
17 times,
wow. There's some kind of badge or patch or something.
There's a 10-year club,
uh-huh.
And you get a dinner at the Dixie Center every year. And so, if you like, baked beans and roast beef and,
I do,
that good salad with the runny ranch, then. But they told me, they said, Chris, you can run the half and you're still a 10-year club member. So I can run half the distance, train half the time, and still get the dinner. So I think I'm converting to the half marathon, which is funny because initially I was one of those purists saying, why would they, ruin this marathon by adding a half? Point. And now here I am running it and actually really enjoyed it.
How did you do? How was it? Was it a good experience?
It was great. I love the course. And, one thing that the city of St. George is doing really well is they have these cool drone shows. And I know they did that for Dixie Days. And they did that at the start of the half marathon. I think they did it at the full last year when I ran the full. But it was just inspiring. They put these drone shows to music. And then it's so cool because you're up there. And I mean, you cover it on the radio, but you're up there in the dark. And there's kind of this nervous energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like for me, I can go run 13 miles and it's not a big deal. But But it's the overall experience from the expo to, you know, boarding the bus here across at Sandtown at, you know, 4 a.m. and, you know, trying to. Yeah. Anyway, it's a cool experience.
And yes, Chris Stadley did just say, I could go run 13 miles. It's no big deal. Yes, he said it. Well, Stockton and I are both going, yeah, no, it is a big deal.
But actually, don't take me golfing, Andy, please. you don't want to see that. I've done it a few times.
Well, the mayor, I think it's cool that you can run like that. I will say this. He is not a very big man. He doesn't have to carry the weight like I do. So running's a little easier for you, a little bit, but not a lot. So, yeah. Now happenings in Washington City, there's some stuff going on. And, I know I got to see a video you with McCray Hepler talking about one of the big happenings, is officially approved now, right? Tell us about it.
Yeah. So Winco is approved to be built on North Main, on the north side of the freeway.
Winco, all right.
So, and we talked about making that announcement here. We've known this for some time, and Rusty, my economic development director, she threatens me to just say, don't, you know, she says things like, loose lips kill dills, and so I have to do my best not to say
it. You were really good. There was even a couple of times where I'm like, can we talk about what's coming? It starts with a W and ends with an INCO, and you're like, no, I cannot say a word. I cannot neither confirm nor deny.
You know, you lull me into this security, like it's just me and you having a conversation here, and so, but so I did my best to keep the secret.
You did great. You really did.
But, yeah, it's going to be on the corner of Buena Vista and Main on the north side of that new interchange, which you mentioned this morning is Main Street or Exit 12, not 11,
yeah,
as it was being called.
Boy, did we learn that the hard way, right? We've been calling it Exit 11 forever and ever, yeah. And the UDOT came out, and they even put signs up on the freeway said Exit 12.
They gave us a curveball there.
We learned our lesson, so. Are they going to call it Main Street Exit then and then have the number 12?
So that's how I prefer. So we have three freeway interchanges in Washington. So I like to call 13 Washington Parkway, yeah. The 12 Main Street, and then 10 Green Spring.
Okay.
Which is without an S, which has also been a little bit of controversy. But look, I didn't plat it. That decision was made way before I came along.
Well, the biggest problem with that is you look at signage. And it's both. I've seen the S on there, and I've seen no S on there for Green Spring.
So on the freeway now, and in fact, I just drove it the other day because we've been watching this. So UDOT has corrected it to Green Spring.
They took
on
the
I-15, okay. On the new ones. They still have a little bit of work to do to get the old ones down. And most of those subdivisions are Green Spring, but some are Green Springs, so it mm-hmm. can be confusing. And the golf course is Green Spring.
No S.
But the irony is there are multiple springs up there.
Are they all Green Spring or are there multiple Green Springs?
I just try to call it by the proper name. Yeah. And
that's okay.
Are you an Andy or an Andrew, by the way?
I am an Andrew, yeah.
But you go by Andy.
I go by Andy. But my email address is andrew.griffin@townsquaremedia.com.
There we go.
And that actually throws people off because I'll send you an email. They send it to Andy Griffin. It goes nowhere. It goes into cyberspace and never comes back.
That return error, I've got those before. Yeah. Not to you.
So back to Winco. My first gut reaction when I heard about this, and now it's official, but my first gut reaction is, is there room there between boilers and the freeway and Main Street and Buena Vista? Yeah. I didn't think there was, but I'm hearing that there's actually a lot more space there than you might think.
Yeah, you're looking at close to 14 acres on that site. And the footprint of the Winco itself is 84,000 square feet. So it's a large building.
Yeah.
What wasn't approved, but what will likely future be approved, will be three or four pad sites around the perimeter. But it's going to fit really nicely in there. What I've been calling it, and I said this with McCray, is this is destination retail. And so for years, you know, old Washington, we would talk about going into town to go shopping, and that meant we would go from Washington into St. George unless we could find it at, you know, Nyson's.
Yeah.
But to me, this Winco will draw from, you know, Sun River to Cedar City and beyond because they're likely not going to put another one in. So this is the regional anchor for Winco. Those that like to shop Winco.
And I love Winco. I have said this before. When I go to northern Utah, I always stop at two places, Trader Joe's and Winco's.
Yeah. We're halfway there then.
Yeah, we're halfway there. I love Winco. I love their approach to, you know, they have a really large bulk food section where you can go and get your own, you know, whatever it is, oats or dark chocolate or whatever it is. And they, quite frankly, I felt like they have better prices than most retail grocery stores. So I love it.
And I'll be honest with you, Andy, like, you know, the property was sold to Winco. We sent an RFP. We had a committee that weighed all the offers that came in. Winco scored the best from that committee. The council deliberated it, but that was part of that consideration, is that we would be selling to the corporation that would actually be building it. Mm-hmm. And this is a big benefit to our citizens. You know, we have Albertsons in Washington. We had Nyson's for years. We have Walmart. But for a city of almost 40,000 residents, we were lacking in grocery services. So we need that. And that's been my experience, too. I've sent, you know, I've got children up in Logan at Utah State and up in Utah County. And when we sent them off to college and went shopping, we went to Winco and we found the pricing to be very competitive. So that was a factor in thinking this is a benefit to our residents.
So if Trader Joe's had sent something with your RFP at the same time, that would have been a tough decision, right? They didn't. I don't think, but that would have been the only maybe competitor to really knock him out, perhaps.
Trader Joe's wouldn't need that large of a site, but
no, they would not.
But I think there are some sites regionally that they might consider, and I'm hopeful that they'll find one that works for them, because you know there's a, you know, like a lot of people, We appreciate, you know, buying, you know, groceries at competitive prices. And then there's also times when we need these healthy or these niche, you know, whole food, you know, I try to avoid kind of the ultra processed type foods. And so you get to a Trader Joe's, you get that healthy niche. So it would be great to have them both. I think it's a big enough market for those two and more.
Not to mention, nobody sells more variety of dark chocolate products than Trader Joe's. I love dark chocolate. I do.
Who doesn't?
You could tell me there was no more milk chocolate ever again in the world, only dark. I'd be like, I'm cool with that.
So sorry, nuts in the dark chocolate or almonds or little toffee.
I like variety. Yeah, we were, when I went to Europe, we got to tour the Lindor chocolate factory in Zurich.
Speaking my language.
Yeah, they had some dark chocolate things with different flavor, fruit flavors and stuff in them. And I was just like, this is heaven. I have died and gone straight to heaven. So it was pretty cool. You can do I'm pretty much anything with dark chocolate. I'm down with that. Yeah. So
you know, I have to tell you a little bit on the Winco. Mm-hmm. So we have a fire station right across
the
street.
Right there, yeah.
And our chief's office is there. And so when we were working on, you know, this putting together this deal to bring Winco in, I was in meeting with Chief and he had his blinds closed. So I just kind of leaned over and I twisted the to open the blinds. And I said, Chief, I'm going to put $1 million view right outside your office, $1 million view annually. And what I mean by that is cities get pretty, you know, historically cities could fund police and fire with property tax. But as home values go up, the rate goes down, so the property taxes, at least the city's portion, stays level, essentially. Yeah. So we have to rely on sales tax in order to fund those core services, which are police and fire. And so not only will the Winco help with residents in giving them another option for grocery shopping, but it'll also help our city's budget in paying for the police and fire services that keep the community safe and you know, attractive.
Let's go back to now exit 12. What is UDOT telling you as far as a target timeline for that opening? I know that they put a stoplight in there now on Buena Vista and Main. It seems like for the most part, to the naked eye and to the uneducated eye like me, it seemed like it should be ready to go anytime.
Yeah, so the date has always been November 1st. Okay. I've been telling people generally by year end, kind of that under promise, over deliver.
Yeah.
We did have a UDOT representative last night speaking to us about sound walls and that process that predated this group of elected officials. It will be open by the end of the year. They're not going to hit the November 1st. I forget the exact term he used, but there was one little thing on the bridge that they needed to kind of work through that's the holdup. But you're right. I mean, these are just kind of the final punch list items. And I don't know if you drove under the underpass.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to work with them to really make it attractive. We did that faux rock that looks like the red rock. We painted the abutments. The sound walls will be painted like kind of a tan, light tan color. We thought about trying to go red rock, but what kind of an, you know, to match our, you know, sandstone in the area. But the problem is we hear that that often turns pink. So we opted for more of a tannish brown tone. So, you know, sound walls aren't ideal. And if you want to ask me about sound walls, I'm happy to talk about that, too. I hear it enough.
There has been some social media action on, oh, sound walls are ruining our views and things like that. And I guess, yeah, we would definitely do a disservice if we didn't at least address it, Mayor.
Okay. So here's how it works. The only people who vote who have a say on whether sound walls go in when a freeway, in this case, is widened and it increases the noise, are those property owners that are affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just picture those, you know, homes and churches and things right along the freeway. So because of state and federal law, when a project like this that widens the freeway affects them, they send out notice to the citizens that are affected.
So they all got something in the mail.
Exactly. A letter from UDOT
with
basically asking them if they want noise abatement. And so there are two thresholds that need to be passed if noise abatement, which I don't know. I haven't seen the paper, so I don't know if it says, you know, 14-foot high sound walls or if it just says noise abatement. Mm. But the thresholds are this. Of the property owners, 75% have to respond. That's the first hurdle.
Okay, just respond. Positive or negative, they have to respond.
Yes,
okay.
And what I understand, too, is that UDOT, because of federal and state law, will actually kind of solicit those responses in order to hit that 75% threshold.
Solicit meaning they'll actually call them?
So
they'll
follow up with letters or visits. They want them to respond, yes or no, do you want noise abatement? Once that hurdle is of 75% is met, the next hurdle that determines whether or not that investment is made or that the sound wall is put in is, do 3/4 or 75% of those that voted vote in favor of noise abatement?
Okay, so it's not just a majority. It has to be 75%.
75% respond. Of the response, 75% in favor. And it's only those who are affected who get the vote.
Right.
So that was...
So if I live over on, you know, on 200 South and 300 East, I don't get a vote. It is not up to me, even though I might drive that way every day.
Right. But if it affects, you know, they talked about, could you hold a normal conversation in your backyard? Where, you know, does it increase the, you know, the decibel level to a certain point?
Mm.
And so, you know, I've got some pushback about the sound walls. And look, it's one of those things that I've said before, carrying baggage that we didn't load. But the reality is those property owners who were affected most by the noise of the widening of the freeway, they were the ones who responded, and they were the ones who responded in favor of sound walls. And so I say that in part to say, look, St. George, if that's happening, you know, down through, you know, your section of the freeway, you know, be aware of that. Those are the indicators that would either put the sound walls up or prevent sound walls from being put up.
All right. It's interesting. If you've never lived near a busy street, and we lived in Hobble Creek. Our backyard was up against 300 East in Washington City. We were just down below the dog park. And I got to tell you, we had, you know, trucks and motorcycles. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of noise in our house, even though we had a cinder block wall. It was noisy. And so one of our priorities when we moved away from that location was we wanted quiet.
Yeah.
And so we actually, the home we own now, is our backyard is a forest park, and it's really quiet. It's nice. But we live a mile from the freeway. We still hear freeway noise a mile away.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but enough that you know, especially if there's a loud truck or something, we hear it. So I think people who are complaining maybe about the view or about the sound walls, go live on a busy street for a while. You'll find out. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a real factor. My daughter right now lives in Cedar City, going to SUU. her and her husband bought, well, not bought, they're renting a place that is 200 yards from the freeway, right behind them. And I said, does it bother you? And they said, well, we hear a lot of noise, but we have, for the most part, gotten used to it. But it's real. It's a real thing.
It's a rite of passage. I mean, I lived right off the freeway when I went to SUU.
Yeah, same deal, huh? Yeah. So, all right, well, I got to get a commercial break in. Well, let's do that. Let me answer this text first. This is for you, Mayor. I actually got a couple of them. So let's start with this one. Who was responsible to fix parking lots and crosswalk areas in Washington City? The Walmart on Telegraph has a horrible and dangerous crosswalk area as you leave the parking lot across from Kohl's and cross into traffic on Telegraph. The asphalt has failed and has unsafe ripples and tire grooves that risk bicycles and other falls. Who is responsible for those repairs, and can the city apply pressure to private developers and retailers to fix parking lots and other areas the public utilizes? Thank you.
That's a great question. The answer on the city streets would be our Public Works Department, and I will absolutely take that information back to them. I will also ask them about what pressure could be applied to. I think I know where you're talking about. I think I pulled out of there the other day.
Out of Walmart and turn on the Telegraph,
yeah, there's those big kind of ruts.
Yeah, there's some pretty big grooves there.
Yeah, that's great feedback. I appreciate that text. I will take that back to Public Works and find out what city can do on our property and what can be done on the private property. Good feedback. Thank you.
Okay, here's another one. Can you ask Mayor Staley if there are any dealers coming to the auto mall? Any new dealers?
Oh, I love that. Okay, so Findlay Hyundai is quickly going vertical. In fact, I expect them to be operational before the end of the year, November, December. So they are cranking it. And I think there's a lot of LOIs or letters of interest for those additional pad sites at the CN Hills Auto Mall. Mm-hmm. And so I pressed a little bit just last week with some of the owners to see if they would share information with me. There's nothing additional that's official yet, but I am very confident that once Findlay Hyundai opens its doors and other dealers can see what's happening there, I anticipate others to follow suit very quickly. And I will announce those, Andy, on this show just as soon as I have the information.
Very cool. Very cool. What about, if you don't mind me asking, we were going for more high-end dealers, car dealers there. Hyundai, not exactly high-end dealer. It's, I mean, they're decent cars. I owned a Hyundai, but not high-end. Are you still making an effort for it to be high-end dealers?
So that's the way that the owners, the Wheeler Group, presented to us was high-end, high-tech. Mm-hmm. And then Findlay was the first one with Hyundai. I could see maybe a Genesis coming in on the pad next to it. Genesis, a little bit of their upgraded brand there. But that's what they've presented to us, is they've kind of sold the idea as high-tech, high-end, and new brands. So we're excited to see that. But the market's going to be at play there, and I really don't have any solid – I mean, an Audi dealer would be convenient for my car, but, you know.
little personal, personal note there.
And the Findlay Group's been good. I know they've had some additional chatter for bringing some additional brands. So happy to see the Findlays work with us on that.
Okay, more with Mayor Staley here in a minute. Got a couple of things we're going to do. We got a weather checkup coming up. Right now, more tickets. We're going to give away, I think, let's do three pair for, this is for Saturday, okay? Not for today, not for tomorrow. Three pairs of tickets to the Black Desert Championship Golf. You got to call right now, 673-5890. Three pairs of tickets. Stockton will handle the calls, and they'll pass along the winners. We'll announce them all when we come back. It's PGA Championship Golf here in Southern Utah.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning into the program. It's Mayor Thursday. Mayor Chris Staley is with me on KDXU. We also gave away a bunch of tickets to the PGA Black Desert Golf event going on right now. God, these are the best golfers in the world right here in Washington County. Cool, huh?
I mean, just picture that, Andy. These lush green courses embedded in a lava field. You know, generations ago, they thought that land was worthless.
Yeah. Well, it's not worthless anymore, is it? All right, some winners. Let's see. Jeanette and Jeff, Joe, Peggy, and Rob all won tickets to Saturday at the PGA golf event. Tomorrow, I will be giving away tickets to Sunday, Championship Sunday. So, yeah, pretty cool having that event right here in southern Utah. Do you see that event affecting Washington City, Chris? I mean, property values, people moving here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it just it fits into a lot of the really cool events. I mean, we've got the Huntsman World Senior Games going around right now. We've had the Iron
And you'll be able to compete, what, in a year or two?
Oh, come on now. That's
50 years old. I did it when I was 50. Yeah.
Yeah, I was razzing our city manager. He golfed in it yesterday or the day before, and I told him, I said,
so look. Jeremy's 50 now?
No, but maybe. Apparently you can. I think he's a few years shy. He's younger than me.
Yeah, I don't think he's 50. Yeah.
So I don't know how he got in.
He cheated. He does have gray hair. He looks 50.
He does.
Sorry, Jeremy. By the way, that's my wife's boss, so I probably just got her in trouble or something.
So you know Brian that works over there?
Yeah.
He's the accountant. He's fantastic. And he loves numbers. So just like when you said 10, 10, 24, he loves those. So I thought it was his birthday was on the 8th, and so I thought I'd be clever, and I texted him, hey Brian, remember that age is just a number.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In your case, a really big number,
really big,
because he's over the 50 now.
Yeah.
And I was said, and you know, Brian's, you know, he works really hard with the budget and all the serious things, and so mm-hmm. I gave him a hard time for not a better reaction after my text, and he said, I'll do better next time, Mayor.
I like 10-10, though. I'm into numbers a little bit, too. I mean, I'm not like, there are people, the numerologists that believe numbers mean things and affect moods, and I'm not into that, but I like nice, neat numbers.
Yeah.
Like 10-10 a.m. on 10-10, 24. 10-10-2010 was really cool.
So let me throw another number out for you.
Okay.
So Veterans Day.
Yeah.
11-11.
Yeah.
We start our parade at 11-11 a.m.
Really? Wow.
So that's coming. I mean, Washington City, we are the regional host for Veterans Day. So that's pretty cool. So 11-11 at 11-11 a.m.
At Veterans Park.
Yep.
If you want to watch it, it's a good place to be.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. We've got Kelly Kleiman. You know Kelly Kleiman, the old from the Triple Deuce. He's the one that kind of keeps all the brothers together for our reunions and things. And so he's going to be not only the grand marshal, but as I understand, he's going to be the keynote after the parade. And so it's going to be awesome.
All right, Veterans Day parade on November 11th. That is what, a month from tomorrow.
Yeah, coming right up.
Month from tomorrow.
One thing that's cool, if you don't mind me, just a little plug on that. We invite all veterans to actually come and be in the parade. So any veteran that wants to be in the parade, just show up on the corner of Main and Telegraph in the old Nissen parking lot. And we have this really cool wagon, and we're gonna put veterans in, and they can all be in the parade. And then after, the parade route comes from the community center, turns west onto Telegraph, and then ends right there down on kind of our commons area downtown. Then we have a really cool little program that the veterans can stay for, and we give them a treat and just kind of honor them. But it's not long, but it's a cool way to experience that day.
Yeah, Veterans Day. We love our veterans for sure in this country, and I hope we get a president that loves the veterans as much as we do in a few weeks as well. But we'll see about that. We're talking with Chris Daly, Washington City. You've got a new judge. Now, this is an area that's dear to my heart because my wife was a court clerk in Washington City for 25 plus years. She started, and there was a guy by the name of Lee Bunnell was the judge. And people say, Lee Bunnell, isn't he? Yeah, he used to be the football coach at Dixie College back in the day.
You know, picture the coaching shorts, the high socks, like, and the guy was ripped.
Yeah.
So he's wearing, you know, the old coaching shirt with the, you know, the V-neck.
Maybe a whistle around his neck, a clipboard.
Old school Coach Bunnell.
And he was a judge for quite some time. My wife was the court clerk for them. He always used to joke that she was the boss and he just did what she told him to.
Smart man.
Is somewhat true, but somewhat not, too.
Is that true at your house? Somewhat true and somewhat not?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If I know what's good for me, it's true. And then Thad Segmiller went in and was judged for, was it like 4 years, I think?
Thad, I can tell you exactly when he was the judge. He was the judge from, well, I can't tell you. He would have come in around 2018.
Okay.
And served until Jake Graff came in.
Yeah, Jake came in and was the judge. At this point, my wife transitioned over to her current job, which is executive assistant to the city manager, the city attorney, and the mayor.
And she does a wonderful job.
She does. And then they got a new court clerk staff. Now we have a new judge.
We have a new judge. But let's go back a little further. Can we predate? So from 1870.
I wasn't here yet.
From 1870 until 1981.
I wasn't here then either.
Cities and towns across Utah had elected justices of the peace.
Really?
So okay. We had Washington, we had two justices of the peace. So 1981 comes around, Bob Slack, history professor at Dixie College. He was the mayor at the time. They put an ad in the newspaper. Remember those newspapers, right? Before we had everything on.
What's a newspaper? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, wait. I wrote for newspapers for 20-something years.
They used to throw it on your driveway or on your front porch. So Lee Bunnell was just finishing his coaching career, still professor at the university, saw this ad, and it, you know, he had advanced degrees in biology, but it didn't say that you had to be an attorney to be a justice court judge. So he was the first judge appointed after the state statute.
Was not a lawyer.
In Washington.
Yeah, not wasn't yet. A lawyer. Wasn't actually, except for being a coach, really had never been into any kind of. Now, as a coach, you do kind of have to lay down the law sometimes.
Yeah.
So he did have that background. But, in fact, when he was talking about retiring, I was like, I told my wife, I said, you should try to be judge. And she says, well, you have to be a lawyer now.
Yeah.
I said, but what wasn't Lee Bunnell? Wasn't a lawyer. She said, well, back when he got the job, he didn't have to be a lawyer. Now you do.
Well, and so he did. He had to retire because at age 75.
They kick you out.
Yeah, so he was going strong. And, you know, I think there's something about having just a hometown court.
Mm-hmm.
And a judge that understands the community.
I was going to ask you about that because there was a time in Washington City, and it was early on when my wife was court clerk, maybe the first 10 years, they had talked about, well, let's just dissolve the local justice court and let the county handle everything. And
the county would have to if we chose to dissolve, but we're not going to.
And it was close. I mean, I don't know, maybe that close, but it was close enough that there was some serious consideration of doing away with the court, the local justice court, and letting it go to county. And in my opinion, cooler heads prevailed and the right decision was made and they kept the court. Of course, that kept my wife's job,
yes.
Right? But that is a big thing. You know, does the court make money? Having a court in your city, does it cost the city money? Or are you making money, or is it a wash, or how does that work?
It costs the city money. In fact, the state statute tells us what we've got to pay judges. In fact, one of Lee Bunnell's claims to fame over the year is he was the lowest paid judge in the state.
He was.
And for many years. But you know, you look at our city hall, which is beautiful, but it's almost 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes about a fourth of the building for the courtroom, and then we've got to have the bailiffs there and additional staff.
And now we
outsource our prosecutors. And so it's a big operation. So we do not make money. It costs us to operate that, but there's value. Another thing that I like about the court is, you know, local government follows the same pattern. While we're not partisan, at least in our city, it follows the state or the federal and state patterns. So you've got the executive branch, you've got the legislative branch, and then with our justice court, it mirrors the judicial branch.
So you've got the executive would be you.
Yes.
Legislative, the city council.
Yes.
And then you've got the court
the
over
judicial
there.
Branch
the judicial
branch is there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So there's value to that. And you know, the challenge, though, now is, look, the old school court, we knew everyone. Everybody kind of knew everyone, so to speak. But now you've got a lot of drug busts and a lot of people coming through and a lot of things happening where, you know, it's still a hometown court, but it's not just kind of the service to the people who live there the way it maybe historically was.
Yeah,
so I don't know what the future is for courts, But I know that right now we're thrilled to have our new judge, who we still haven't even said his name, Andy.
Yeah, that's because, first of all, I don't remember it, and you have it written down, so you do.
No, I know it because we had fantastic candidates, and it was one of the most difficult. It's a process. The state lays out the process, and for me,
decided, right?
It's my appointment to make, mm-hmm. with the advice and consent of my counsel.
Okay.
And so it was a unanimous decision, but it was hard when we got down to the final. Like, there was a committee, mm-hmm. That was that vetted all of the applicants. They narrowed those down to four. I interviewed the four. I took the time. I followed back up with them and ultimately just really settled on the one that I felt like was just, he was a common sense community guy that just kind of fit that culture. And so I was really thrilled to be able to appoint Aaron Randall as our new justice.
No relation to Michelle Randall.
No relation. But I told him, I said this, I said, Judge Randall, I said, look, Lee Bunnell was here for 35 years. So I said, I expect you here for 35 years or age 75, whichever comes first. I don't want to appoint another judge.
On that, yeah. Oh, wow. So Aaron Randall is the new Justice Court judge. Now, for those that don't know, if you get a ticket between, what, exit 10 and exit, really, 16.
Right.
That's a Washington City matter, and it gets referred to Washington City Court, and you will either, you know, send a check to Washington City, or you will go in and meet with a judge if you disagree with the charges. Yeah. And it's that way. And Washington City is really big. I don't think people realize geographically how big Washington City is. We talk about Hurricane being, you know, the Hurricane and St. George are the biggest geographic cities in the state, but Washington City's right there with them.
Well, we've got a freeway that dissects the community, and then we're kind of long.
Yeah.
We're kind of all the way down to the Arizona border on our south and to the Red Cliffs Desert Reserve on the north.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty big city and a lot of opportunities for growth.
Yeah.
More than
anything. And we're still not chasing it. We're entirely content to just be under the radar. In fact, don't say the word Washington out loud. We'll let them let the new growth go into Hurricane and St. George. We'll just keep doing what we do.
I just remembered, we got to get a commercial break in.
We're having too much fun.
We are having too much fun. Mayor Chris Daly with me on the Andy Griffin Show. Be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. It is 9:52, so we're short on time. I did just get a text, Mayor. I like this text.
Uh-oh.
It says, Mayor, your first name is unique. What is its origin? Enjoy listening to you. You are so positive. Thanks. Kress, K-R-E-S-S is your first name. Yes. Tell us about it.
Yes. So I am the fourth of four boys, and as some families do, the parents try to keep the same letter for okay. the, you know, first.
So your other brothers are all K names.
Kip, Corey, Cole.
Okay.
And 13 years later, Kress.
Wait a minute. 13 years from your last brother or from your oldest brother?
The first three were born back to back to back. 13 years from the third, Cole is me. So there is a generation gap.
That's a gap. Yeah. You did not grow up with your brothers, kind of.
No. They were brothers kind of slash additional parents. It was great.
Uncles, whatever.
Yeah. I loved it. So, but Kress, there was a Kress Gibson in town in Washington. So that's, my mom was familiar with that name.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a great grandfather on my father's side from Enterprise, whose name was Lamond Cresson Woods.
Cresson.
Cresson with a C.
Okay.
And so I wish there was a better story than that, but so it kind of gives me a little connection to that ancestor on the Cresson side. But
you need, get your PR guy. Get Jordan working on this. We need a better story than that. I knew somebody named Kress once.
What I often get called, though, because Kress Staley. So parents listening out there, don't end the first name with an S and start the last name with
Kress,
an S.
You get Kress sometimes?
So I got Kress often.
Often, okay.
And, you know, Kress toothpaste and, you know, that kind of stuff. But more often than not, if you're not seeing it written, you're just hearing it.
Uh-huh.
I will introduce myself as Chris Staley, and then people will correct me and say, it's nice to meet you, Chris Daly. And I just, unless it matters, I don't bother correcting them. But, yeah, it's not Chris, and it's not Daly.
Chris Staley. And by
the
way,
you have to pause.
Yeah. Staley is, and I learned this way back when I first came to town, it's S-T-A-H-E-L-I. I was not familiar with that name when we moved here. I was doing a ball game with Mike McGarry, and there was a Staley on the Dixie College team. And I don't know which one it was, but I saw that name and I thought, okay, should I wait for Mike to say it or should I attempt it myself? And I decided, you know what, he's not going to say it, I'll just attempt it myself. And I said, Staheely.
Yeah.
And boy, was I wrong. And Mike gave me the look like, you don't live here, do you? And I had just barely, we just barely moved. I mean, we're talking about 1993, right? So it was a long time ago, but Staheely, not Staheely.
I bet it was my cousin Rod. Was he a running back?
Honestly, it was so long ago, I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, it was literally like, it was 94, I think, it was when this happened.
Staley is common in southern Utah and near the Linder Chocolate Factory by Zurich, Switzerland.
Nice.
So those are the two places where you're going to see Staley, at least spelt, if not exactly pronounced, the same way.
Well, the other problem I had is I was working at the Spectrum newspaper, and my boss, his name was Staley, S-T-A-L-E-Y.
That's the English spelling.
Yeah. So I was like, it can't be the same. Yeah. So a couple of things we want to mention before we let you go, Mayor. First of all, an update on the old gym, the old historic building that has been several different things over the years.
Yeah.
What is it right now, and where are we at with it?
So this is a 100-year-old addition to the two-story sandstone school. Mm-hmm. We are right in the thick of construction. It's amazing. We pulled back the drop ceiling that was built in 1957 and exposed this beautiful vaulted ceilings with these amazing wood rafters and ironwork.
Wow.
We've redone the stage. We're going to preserve the floor. We're going to add a lobby. And what I'm actually most excited about right now, as part of that renovation process, we chipped out the existing grout. We recognized that originally it was white. But because of just the sediment and the iron, it had kind of turned
It's
not white anymore. But we just regrouted it, Andy. It looks so good.
Really?
That white kind of granular grout is just making the sandstone pop. So I am really excited about how this is coming on. And we're just going to have a big celebration like they used to do in old times when we're ready to open that back up to the community. Because it's the gathering place for our community. And it was that for 75 years, and then it kind of got forgotten. So we're reviving it.
Do we have a timeline? Do we know how long this is going to take?
So I've really been pushing to have it done by the end of 2024 because of it's a 100-year birthday. I'm not convinced we're going to meet that timeline, but close enough for my State of the City address in January or February next year to be done out of that location.
I would love to be there. That's
front row seat.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't want to be on the front row.
Wherever you are.
People in the front row get picked on. Hey, you, talk. No. I don't want to do that. But,
look who's talking.
I talk way too much already, Mayor. Anything else on the count? I know you had a ribbon cutting, the Grapevine Trail, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Really nice. Ample parking, access into the Red Cliff Desert Reserve. Couldn't be happier about that. If you haven't gotten up there, it's just off Washington Parkway on the north side of the freeway, exit 13. Go check it out. You can hike, run, bike, e-bike. If you have horses, saddle up. It's a modern looking pavilion with restrooms and water and shade. It's a really cool facility with a lot of parking, and with kind of that common sense approach, we built around a power substation. So we're being practical as well.
Nice. And by the way, on that side of the freeway, the Red Rock, the beauty is almost unparalleled.
Get up there on Bracken's Loop.
Mm-hmm.
Get some red dirt in your shoes.
Yeah.
And you're going to see some lava and red rock that you haven't seen before. Really pretty. Worth going.
Very cool. Anything else, Mayor? We're down to the final minute.
No, just it's always a pleasure. I apologize. I missed last month, so it's good to be back.
I know. We missed you, man. I'm glad you're back in town. And, again, we need to work on the Crest story.
Okay.
You saved some kid's – your mom saved some kid's life when he was drowning, and his final words as he got into the ambulance was, Crest or something. Make something up. I don't know.
Sounds like a deal.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate it. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. We'll be back tomorrow live and taking your calls. Tomorrow I'll give away more – Black Desert golf tickets as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you, Mayor.